Okay. Good evening. I want to thank everybody for taking up their valuable time to be on the phone this evening. There's one theme, one idea that defines Pesach. It's the word different. As in manishtane halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. By the way, I hear an echo of my voice.
Right, I don't know. I also do, but I don't know why, but...
So, it's the word different. Manishtane halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. Pesach is different in many ways. It's different in what we eat. It's different in what we can't eat. The Suda on Pesach night is different. We have a Seder. We say Hallel. We say it in a different way than we say the typical Hallel. Typically, Hallel is not said at night. In 10 days from this evening, we will be saying it at night. Typically, Hallel is said standing up. We say Hallel sitting down. Typically, Hallel is said, the whole thing is said in one standing, and we divide Hallel. Part of the Hallel is said before the Suda, part is said after the Suda, and also we don't make a bracha. So the whole mitzvah of Sipur Yitzrayim, which is about the redemption from Mitzrayim on Pesach night, is different. So the Gedolei Achronim ask, why did the Torah require the mitzvah of Sipur, the telling over of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the redemption from Egypt? We already have a mitzvah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we, in effect, remember. It's a Zechira of the Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day of the year. Every day at the end of Krishma we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Oitzeitzi Eschem E'ez Mitzrayim, L'yoyz L'chem L'Elokim. So, if we have the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day of the year, why do we have this mitzvah, and how is it different, the mitzvah of Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? In fact, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are many other mitzvahs that serve as a reminder of the redemption from Mitzrayim. You have Shabbos, Yom Tovim, Pidyon HaBen, the redemption of the firstborn. All these mitzvahs serve as testimony for us throughout the generations regarding the wonders, the miracles, the nisim that were performed in getting us out of Mitzrayim, and to ensure that they are not forgotten and that there'll be no argument to deny Aramune in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is the difference between the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that we are obligated on the night of Pesach? So Rav Eliyahu Baruch Finkel of the Meir Yerushalayim explains as follows. He said the foundation, the main goal of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we do every year, every day of the year, that is the mitzvah, the foundation of the Yesod of Emunah. As the Ramban at the end of Pashas Vay teaches, Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Yesod of Emunah, that not only God is the creator of the world, but that the Eibishter runs everything, that's Hashgacha Pratis. And from the great miracles that occurred in Mitzrayim when we were redeemed, we see with our senses that Hashem is the director of everything in the world. So through acknowledging the great miracles of Hashem when he took us out of Mitzrayim, a person concedes the hidden miracles of everyday life, that there are no coincidences, that Hashem runs everything. That is what we call Hashgacha Pratis. Just the other day, someone commented to me that all those who voted for President Trump probably didn't expect this kind of economy. They didn't expect a day like today with the announcement of the tariffs, with the stock market down 3%, 4%. Nobody expected that. So I told that person that there are no surprises. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved even in getting presidents elected. I mean, we know what happened with Trump when he almost got assassinated. And we know, as he himself has acknowledged, it was God's miracle that he's still alive. So we see Hashgacha Pratis in everything, that everything is orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even presidential elections. That means Hashgacha Pratis means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu administers all that happens. Good, bad, tariffs. Whether it happens to an individual or to a group. And if you think that President Trump is the first president that the Eibishter has been involved with, I've got a wonderful story. It's a well-known story. You may know the whole story. Going all the way back to the story of President Truman. And the story of President Truman begins with someone by the name of Eddie Jacobson. So who is Eddie Jacobson, you ask? So Eddie Jacobson was an irreligious Jew born in 1891 in the Lower East Side of New York City. As a child in 1905, his family moved to Kansas City, where he became close friends, and he eventually did World War I military service together with someone by the name of Harry Truman. I would imagine you've heard of him. After World War I, for 3 years, Eddie Jacobson and Harry Truman launched an unsuccessful clothing business. It was unsuccessful, and soon after they drifted apart. So, okay, let's fast forward to 1948. The formation of the State of Israel needed world support. The United States State Department opposed the idea, and Jewish organizations tried unsuccessfully to lobby President Truman. At the last moment, somebody remembered that there was a Jew by the name of Eddie Jacobson that was President Truman's close childhood friend. So they reached out to Eddie, who phoned President Truman, asking him to see him. And although Truman's officials tried to block the meeting, Truman said, "How can I not see my old friend, Eddie?" So when Eddie arrived at the White House, Truman said, "Eddie, you can talk to me on anything except for one thing, and that is the formation of the State of Israel." So having no choice, Eddie said, "Okay," and began to cry. When President Truman asked Eddie, "What are you crying about?" So Eddie pointed to a marble bust of President Andrew Jackson, who happened to have been President Truman's hero. And that bust, that marble bust of Andrew Jackson, was in the room that Eddie and President Truman were standing in. So Eddie tells President Truman, "I have a hero also. You have your hero. Your hero being President Andrew Jackson, I have my hero." "Who's your hero?" Truman asked Eddie. So Eddie says, "Chaim Weizmann." And he says, "Harry, for my sake, can you please see this man?" And that is how Chaim Weizmann, the first president of the new nation of Israel, got to see President Truman. And this is the series of, as they would call on the street, coincidences, which led to America voting in favor of the creation of the State of Israel. And without that vote, the sovereign State of Israel may not have happened. Now, the 1948 meeting between Eddie Jacobson and President Truman is a remarkable story of Hashgacha Pratis at work. Yes, that was not the main yesod or the main point of the Hashgacha Pratis that I want to point out. Because the fact that Truman was president in that moment in 1948, that in and of itself was a tremendously unlikely rise of an individual to such a powerful position. In 1922, Harry Truman, who was approaching his 40s, sat in Missouri ruminating on his past challenges and setbacks. And on the verge of financial collapse, Harry was not a successful individual. He started his rise to become president of the United States. And while Hashgacha Pratis may not always be evident immediately, and it wasn't in the case of Harry Truman, going all the way back to 1922, each step we take and every person we encounter is orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these moments cumulatively even have the potential to alter the trajectory of Jewish history, and it even affects Israel ad hayom hazeh, until today. So if the aside of the mitzvah, of the chiyas, yitzias Mitzrayim, is the daily remembrance of the redemption, and it's about emun in Hashgacha Pratis, what is the aside of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the storytelling of the Exodus from Mitzrayim that we all do on Pesach night? So the answer is that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we do every single day is a brief mention and a brief memory preserved of the great miracle that Hashem did when He took us out of Mitzrayim. And it serves as a lesson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the hidden miracles in our lives. However, with the mitzvah of Zechirah Tzitzit Mitzrayim, there is no requirement to elaborate or to tell the story. There's no need to embellish the narrative, to dwell on the remarkable nature of the miracles, or to highlight the elements that stir the soul and shift our perspective. You see, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is passive. It's concise. It's to the point. We mention, we make reference to the Nisim every single day. And we remember it. It's Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, some of the Rishonim rule that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't even have to be done with one's mouth. All he has to do is just stop for a moment and reflect on the miracles that occurred when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. But Sipo Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the other hand, that we're going to do in 10 days is a full retelling. It's an immersive, active narrative that we talk about from Avodim Hoyinu in the Haggadah. We recount the Geula from Mitzrayim on Pesach night. Sipo Yetzias Mitzrayim invites us to slow down, ask questions, get the children to participate. It involves the mitzvahs of matzah, maror, and hallel. It describes the bitterness of the slavery, the fear, and then the hope, and the suspense before the final redemption. And the nisim and the tremendous simcha, the joy of the actual redemption. The whole idea of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we are meant to talk about the miracles and wonders, and the drama of the thunderous moment of liberation would lead us to feel the need to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Rambam calls it. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is l'chodesh u'l'halel. You see, the goal of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to reawaken anew. We speak in detail about the miracles that occurred thousands of years ago, because the details can change us. They make Hashem's involvement in our lives and the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people. It makes it real, it makes it personal, and it makes it vivid. In effect, each part of the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is designed to reflect as a mirror, if you will, on our own lives. That all the struggles in our personal moments of redemption and success are all a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashgacha Pratis. If you think about it, the mitzvah on the night of Pesach is much more than just the mitzvah of Emunah, which is the yesod of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we do every day. Because Sipur, the telling of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we are obligated to do as part of the Seder, is literally a reenactment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives, as the Rambam makes clear. Bechol dor v'dor, in each generation, chayav adam lirayis etz atzmai, to see himself, ki hu bi atzmai, as if he now yotza mishivat Mitzrayim, from the servitude of Mitzrayim. And the Rambam continues, bein anoshim u'bein noshim, men and women, chayav listois abakoisois yayin, they have to drink the four cups of wine. Why? Kedei lehoidois, to praise Hashem, ulashabeach, ulafoyer, ulahalel, al kol hanisim. Tzipo Yitzias Mitzrayim is not passive. It's to bring us to want to give praise and thanks to Hashem. We have to feel it. G'day l'hoidois u'l'shabeach u'l'pore u'l'halel, which is central to the mitzvah of Tzipo Yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach. So when we ask, Manish Dana Halayla Hazem Mikol Halaylois, we should wonder, what is so different, so unique, that we can take from the Seder night that is different than the mitzvah of the Chiras, Yitzias Mitzrayim of the whole year? And the answer is that on Pesach night, we just don't recite Hallel. We feel the Hallel. We experience the Hallel. Pesach night is a night of song. It's a night of personal gratitude, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an experiential recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's loving involvement in our lives. Pesach night is a night of singing Hallel with meaning and having the participants, especially women and children, feeling connected to Hashem, which is crucial to the mitzvah of Tzipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the point of Tzipo Yitzias Mitzrayim by the Seder is not an historical awareness of miracles of a few thousand years ago. We make reference, we briefly mention it, and then we move on. No, it's an emotional connection. You see, the mitzvah of Tzipo Yitzias Mitzrayim is about Lahoidos Ulahalel, and it turns a lesson of Emunah into a lesson of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Hallel at the Seder is so unique. That's why it's the only time we say Hallel at night. We're not reciting it as a mitzvah to say Hallel. We're singing it. When you're inspired to sing, you'll sing it any time, any place. It's the only time we say Hallel sitting down. Because if you feel the moment, you feel the miracles, you feel the connection, you feel the love, sing it, say it. You're standing, you're sitting. It's the only time we say Hallel without a bracha. It doesn't need a bracha. It just spills forth from our mouths. And that's Sipur. It's talking about it. It's not just sitting there passively thinking about it. Not a recital of a past redemption, but it's an expression of singing Hallel of a present experience. We are reliving the Geula. And that's why the Rambam says, Chayiv Adam La'aretz Etzatzmoy, to see himself as if who acts of now, Yotza Mimitzrayim. Very nice distinction. But the question is, why can't Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim of the whole year round accomplish this? Why do we need Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to accomplish it? Why can't we just the year round when we're saying Shema? Think about Mitzrayim and feel connected. If you think about it, imagine a composer who hears a beautiful melody in his head. He sits down at his piano and works out the precise notes that brings the melody to life. The harmonies, the counterpoints, the phrasing and timing all come together to make the song into a force that has the power to uplift the hearts and touch the soul of those who will hear it. But if you think about it, as beautiful and as powerful as this masterpiece may be, it accomplishes little until it is played out loud. And so it is with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, we can think about it, we can remember it, about the miracles that occurred in Mitzrayim, and we do that every day. But it's only a minute fraction of the transforming power that those miracles can have on us, which doesn't come to fruition until they are said out loud. That's why when it comes to tefillah, the Shulchan Aruch writes, one must not pray in his heart alone. Rather, he must say the words with his lips so it can be heard. You ever wonder, why do I have to say the words of prayer? Why do I have to say all those words in the Siddur? Why is that so integral to tefillah? Especially, let me make the question even stronger, Kavanah is the essential element of tefillah. And Hashem knows what we're thinking. So why can't a sincere, silent tefillah fulfill the requirement to pray? Why does one need to speak out the words to Hashem when Hashem is well aware of every thought in a person's mind? So one of the reasons given is related to the challenge that is specific to any kind of internal spiritual activity. You see, human nature is such that until a thought or feeling is concretized into an action, it remains ephemeral, and it's prone to dissipate into thin air. In fact, the Rambam deals with this challenge in the realm of tshuva. The Rambam states, when one repents from sin, he must confess before Hashem. That's vidui. You know why? Because until you articulate, until you do an action to concretize it, it's just a thought. It's an internal, spiritual, ephemeral, theoretical. But it's not real. It's not vivid. Says the Michtav Eliyahu. Without the concrete action of speaking, neither process of tshuva or tefillah can affect the change upon an individual's soul, and they remain nothing more than thoughts in one's mind. You see, tefillah's main purpose is to bring a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a Jew davens to Hashem, he feels the closeness. As Rabbeinu Bachya explains the pasuk in Devarim, Ki mi goy gadol, who is this great nation, asher lo Elokim, that has a God, k'rovim eilav, who's so close, k'ashem Elokeinu b'chol koreinu, I love whatever we call out to him. You see, the Jewish people are special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are close. Isn't it ironic that the pasuk mentioned Hashem is close? He's not close, he's all over. You know the song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Not closer here than there. But I believe that the explanation is that the Torah wants us to concretize the concept. And when we daven mi goy gadol, it's the klal yisrael, shaloy elikim, k'rovim eilav, he's close. Feel close to Hashem, k'ashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu eilav, whenever you call out, whenever you daven. Krayvim eilav. When we daven to him, we should feel he's close to us. And the love that he has, he wants to answer our tefillahs. This is a vital quest to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is one of the main goals in a person's entire life. Obviously, a goal so crucial cannot be accomplished completely with the ephemeral entity of thought, Kavanah, alone. So to assure that the thoughts become integrated into one's personal reality, into one's soul, that's why they must be spoken. In fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu that he's going to give Avraham Avinu's people, that's us, Klal Yisrael, the land of Eretz Yisrael, to his offspring, Avraham's gratitude does not remain a thought or a feeling alone. The Pasuk tells us in Bereishis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Avraham Avinu takes action. He immediately builds an altar to concretize his gratitude by bringing a korban. Korban to feel close. Krevus. And that's the reason why when the Jews went to the base of Migdash for the Yom Tovim, they were Oil Regal. It wasn't enough that they saw thousands upon thousands of Jews and they were inspired. They too had to bring a korban. The same reason. You want to feel close? Don't just think about it. Do something. Concretize it. Make it real. Make it relevant. Make it valid. Feel the inspiration. Move your soul. Bring a korban. And wouldn't you know it? Nowadays, tefillah is the mark of korban in the place of the korban. Because of the closeness that we feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with this explanation, we know that's why it's Sipo Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the time of the Geula, and we feel it in our bones. And therefore, it's just something we need to do. We need to talk about it. We need to get the children involved. We need to get the women, the men, everyone. Pick up the matzah, taste the maror, feel the contrast between shibud, servitude, and geula, and chayrus. Now we can understand what the Rambam and the Haggadah means when it says, V'chol ha-marbe l'tzaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, whoever increases their telling of the mitzvah, of the miracles of the redemption from Egypt, harei zeh meshubach. You know what meshubach means? Praiseworthy, he's elevated. But isn't that a strange way, harei zeh meshubach, to describe doing a mitzvah in the best way possible? Chol ha-marbe. You give more tzedakah, you're meshubach. You learn more Torah, you're meshubach. You do more chesed, you're not meshubach. You have more mitzvahs. What does the Rambam, what does the Haggadah mean when he says, Chol ha-marbe l'saper b'yitzid zamereh de meshubach? So Ramat Hashem Solomon said in the name of his Rebbe, Rebbe Eliyahu Lapion, you know what harei zeh meshubach means? Doesn't mean it's just a good thing to do. Harei zeh meshubach, you're praised for doing it. Harei zeh meshubach, he says, is like when you talk about wine, yayin meshubach, a wine that is matured, a wine that has aged well, a wine that is deep in flavor and character. It's not just a new wine, it's a refined wine. The lesson, said Ravella Lopion, is by speaking at length about the redemption from Mitzrayim, a person and actually becomes Meshubach. The person becomes a better person, a holier person. The person becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it changes him. The more that one tells over about the miracles, and he's involved on the night of Pesach, harei zeh meshubach. That's why the Rambam even encourages a dramatic reenactment. Lift the matzah, hide the apikoyimin. Because storytelling that matures and deepens makes the person meshubach. Get involved, you'll feel it. See where you see it, the tribe, not just a checklist. You see, it's like a good wine. It's a process of spiritual fermentation. Every added detail, every extra question, every new insight adds a layer of flavor. The sage is not meant to be repeated robotically after year. It's meant to mature us like a fine wine matures and gets better each and every year. In fact, the Maharal explains that the mitzvah Sipur Yisrael is not just historical. It is transformative. Maral explains that the goal is not merely to recall the past, but to offer praise and to re-experience the miracles of the Gula in the present. And so the more we immerse ourselves in the miracles of the night that occurred thousands of years ago, the more the story reshapes our consciousness. And like an aged wine that warmed not only the palate but the heart, so too the more we tell about the wonders of the Geulah Mitzrayim, the more we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and his love for the Jewish people, the more it penetrates our souls and our hearts. So when Chazal say harei zeh meshubach, they're not simply praising verbosity, saying more words. They're praising the depth of what we're talking about. They're telling us, if your sipur is like a fine aged wine, full-bodied with meaning and flavor, matured by engagement, then you fulfill the mitzvah in the most elevated and inspiring way. And most importantly, you, the one who is mesaper, talking about the mitzvah of the night, of the miracles, you are meshubach in the process. You see, tzipur yitzias Mitzrayim, it's not just a mitzvah. To remember the miracles, emunah, eshkacha, prophets, that would be the chirat yitzias Mitzrayim. Get involved. Talk about it. And elevate yourselves in the process. Because we, harei zeh meshubach, we are the ones that are coming meshubach. When we lord HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles of Mitzrayim, it makes us intimately aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eshkacha, prophets, which profoundly impacts on our lives. You see, it nurtures a deeper sense of purpose in life. It offers strength in challenging times and instills peace amid uncertainty. It fosters gratitude during times of bountiful blessings. It enriches every aspect of our existence and infuses even the most mundane activities for profound spiritual significance. And this spiritual evolution paves the path towards a life of greater fulfillment, serenity, and the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's more than just being aware of Hashem's presence. It's about truly living with Hashem in every breath we take. Kol HaNeshama Tahalel Ka, each breath. Kol Neshima Uneshima, the Gemara tells us, every breath, Kol HaNeshama Tahalel Ka, we'll pray to Hashem. It gives us the ability to look at life totally differently. At the age of 18, Rabbi Yosef Yuzel Horowitz, the future Alta from Nevada, set to marry. After his father-in-law's untimely death, he became financially responsible for his fiancée, his mother-in-law, and her 8 children. Once, when Rabbi Yosef Yuzel was 27 years old, he had to take a business trip to Memel, where Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the founder of the Muslim movement, lived. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta happened to be at the train station in Memel. His eyes happened to be drawn to a passenger who stood out from the rest, hurrying on his way with packages in his arms. Yisrael walked over to him and asked him, "Where are you running, young man?" So the young Rabbi Yosef Yosel said, "To make a panosa, to make a living." Rabbi Yisrael Salanta asked him, "For what do you need to make a panosa?" So Rabbi Yosef Yosel answered, "I have a wife, a mother, and her 8 children at home to support. One needs to have what with to live." Rabbi Yosef told Rabbi Yisrael, and you know what? Rabbi Yisrael Salanta answered, "And I thought one must have with what to die." Rabbi Yosef Yosel was so struck by these stark words, he decided to close his business, and he joined Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's Kovno Kolel, where he studied Torah 18 hours a day. And the rest is history, because he became the great Alta from the Bardic, who affected thousands upon thousands. You know what the wisdom from this story is? It's that everyone and everything is precisely where Hashem intends it in him to be, at all times. And although we talk about stories about notable figures like the Alta from the Bardic, every individual, me and you, every experience is divinely orchestrated for our benefit of protection. Tariffs? I don't know. I have no idea how it's going to benefit us. But you can be sure this is all the doing of the Eibishter for our benefit. Sometimes things that happen, we have no idea why. A remarkable story during World War II. Rachel Kotler, the future wife of Rav Schneer Kotler, found herself in Moscow with a full German passport. She was staying in a hotel under Russian government surveillance. She was invited by a Russian soldier to tour the city. And you know what that meant? It was dangerous. And she couldn't decline. Hours later, upon returning, she discovered that her roommate had been taken away, never to be seen, never to return. And Rebbetzin Kotler's son reflected on that night as follows. He said, "I will let you draw your own conclusions about the Russian soldier, but my mother saw him as a clear messenger of Hashgacha Pratis, which was sent to save her." But you see, we all know that when the ending has a happy ending, when times are serene and prosperous, it's very simple to recognize and express gratitude for Hashem's blessing. But when faced with adversity and difficulty, our understanding might falter. And it challenges our ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and our struggles, especially since 2020. That's right, 5 years ago, for our generation. It's been difficult at times to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, as the world has been rocked by heart-wrenching events. 5 years ago, the world was rocked by the unyielding grip of the coronavirus pandemic. which killed over 7 million people worldwide. And that was followed in 2022 by the violent Russian invasion of Ukraine, which still continues. In 2023 came the catastrophic earthquakes in Turkey and Syria that killed more than 60,000 people. You forgot, didn't you? Then came the infamous October 7th, Simchas Torah, 2023-58-74, horrific invasion of southern Israel by Hamas, which unfortunately never, some of the hostages are still there in Gaza. In our darkest hours, filled with pain and doubt, we may wonder, is this the doing of a benevolent, loving Creator? When light storms unsettle us, upholding the belief of Einoid Mulvadai, this is all the Eibishter, and it's all for our benefit, becomes very challenging. And in such moments of despair, we often question and we wonder, why is this happening? I don't understand. Which leads us to the second part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim on Pesach night. You see, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is not just to recount the miracles that we encountered that evening during that time when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. But as I mentioned, it's l'hoidos u'lahalel, to express our gratitude and offer our praise. You know what Rav Huttner points out? Rav Huttner points out remarkably that the Hebrew word hoido'o has two meanings. It means to thank, and it means to admit. You see, the root of the Hebrew word for admitting hoido'o and the root of the Hebrew word for giving thanks, lahoidos, hoido'o, is the same. And the reason is that these two words are so familiar in Hebrew is because a person's ability to give thanks is based on his ability to admit that he is incomplete. And that's what the Pesach night is also about. When we give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we admit we are incomplete. We admit that we can't succeed on our own. That in order to accomplish anything in life, any success, any redemption, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make us successful. We need his miracles, the blatant miracles, the hidden miracles. We need his involvement. You see, a person who has difficulty admitting that he can't succeed on his own, one who thinks he has all the answers and all the solutions, and I understand exactly what's happening, that person also has difficulty saying thank you to someone. I don't need you. I've got all the solutions, all the answers, all the success is mine. So with this second understanding, it becomes clear why the Rambam says, Kol hamarbe l'sate b'tzitz b'tzamare de mesubach. You elaborate in telling the story of the Exodus. You know why you are mesubach? By grounding yourselves in the belief that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haidah, I admit, thank you. We give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the thanks for all the wondrous miracles, the blatant ones, the hidden ones. We come to the realization that we don't have answers, that we don't fully understand. In fact, the more we know, the less we understand. That's right. We really don't have the answers to the confusion or the complexities of life. Trump gets saved by a bullet, assassination, tariffs, Gaza, hostages, Ukraine, Russia, what's going on? Nuclear this, nuclear this, gold meat. I know nothing. And this realization is necessary, especially in our times. Michtam Eliyahu writes, I've mentioned this in the past, but I'll mention it again, because it will continue to happen over and over and over. Michtam Eliyahu writes that the culmination of our current exile, the Golus Edom, will align with the disturbance of our prevailing world order. Remarkable. Rav Dessler explains that before Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rattle the foundational elements of human life leading to prevalent distress and anxiety and fear of impending calamity. Mamish, as we speak. What Trump spoke it for, as we speak. Rav Dessler writes that amid all the tumult, as our earthly understandings disintegrate, mankind will be able to rise to an authentic spiritual consciousness. And you know what that is? Bayoimahu, Yashem Echad Ushmoy Echad. Unveiling the radiance of Mashiach. You know what the Mishnah in Sota says? In the time of Mashiach, beautiful. Ein lonu lihi shohen. Ela alavinu shebashemayim. That's right. Can't rely on anything. Economy, safety, police, rule of law, governments, planes, trains, cars, weather. Gonit mit gonish mit gonish. In onu lihi shohen. Ela only but. Alavinu shebashemayim. If you think about it, says the Aruch Haner, the decline of the current order is a precursor to our salvation. Because every good thing must first lose some of its initial grandeur before it rises and reaches its perfection. Don't think that what you thought is gold, it's fool's gold, and God will prove it to you. The Aruch Haner gives a muscle, a parable. Consider a grain of wheat. Before its sowing, it can be consumed, but its benefits is minimal. Once it undergoes the process of planting and decomposing, it then germinates, capable of yielding countless grains. Only after it decays, first it must decay in the ground as it sprout a fresh new shoot, capable of producing hundreds of nourishing grains. Deterioration precedes the elevation, which enables the salvation, the geula, to happen. In all the confusion and uncertainty in today's world, when we admit, la'oidosh, ula'ala, la'oidosh, ha'ida, we admit, that's why the Rambam says, the chol hamarbe, l'sape, with the ha'ida, Hare the Meshubach. You know why? Because that humble recognition allows us to begin seeing even the harshest events as part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vast and intricate mosaic. That's right, we don't understand what's going on, and we don't know what will happen next. But it is precisely because of that. It's because of this perspective which pushes us to deepen our faith and to actively rely on Hashem. As again, I mentioned the Mishnah. Mashiach is about to come in onu lihi shoyen. Only rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially in difficult times. Holding on to a strong belief and feeling in Hashgacha Pratis that Hashem is involved in every detail helps us remember that even the most painful and confusing moments are not outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's loving care. They are part of the greater story, even if we can't yet see the full picture. Over 75 years ago, Rav Chatzko Levenstein himself analyzed what he called the miracle of Vilna, the seemingly inescapable escape of the Mir Yeshiva, eventually to Shanghai. And he wrote the following, said Rav Chatzko, divine providence wanted to save the Torah and its scholars from destruction. That is why almost 20 years earlier this was written, I think somewhere in the 50s, God began to spin assorted threads of history which he eventually wove into a unique tapestry in an endless and seemingly unrelated and sometimes bizarre unfolding of political intrigue and statesmanship for survival. The miracles of their escape, the Mashiach reflected, were more numerous than those found in Megillus Esther. When you see things that happen in the world and you say, what in the world is going on? It's not for us to understand. It's for us to say, I don't understand. And because I don't understand, I'm going to rely on the Yeshiva. But there's another level. to the purpose of the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because if you think about it, even the name of the Yontif of Pesach reinforces the feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant love of the Jewish people. You ever wonder, why do we call it Pesach? You know what Pesach means? Pesach, the name Pesach is taken from the fact that God passed over the Jewish houses thousands of years ago in Mitzrayim. Yeah. And he didn't kill the Bechor of the Jewish people. He passed over their homes. The last Makkah. I mean, shouldn't we call the Yontov Chag HaMatzos? That's what the Torah calls it. In the Siddur, it's called the Manche Ruseinu, a holiday of freedom, of redemption. Why would we call it Pesach? You know why? Because Pesach, the word Pesach refers to one event that occurred that evening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses where there were Jews. You see, Pesach itself, the word Pesach, reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great love for the newborn nation, Klal Yisrael. The passing over and the skipping over of the Jewish homes are the most essential and fundamental characteristic of Pesach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great love for his newborn nation. It sums up the essence of the Yontif. In fact, in the Sefer Shalom, citing the Arizal, explains that the redemption should have been impossible because, as we all know, Klal Yisrael was on the lowest level of Tumah, on the Mem test, the 49th lowest level of Tumah. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pesach, he skipped over our homes and he kept us alive. He accepted us for his nation. So if you think about it, what a tremendous love. Now let's put it all together. Mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah reminds us, we need to make that night different for ourselves. We need to become different. We need to become Hareza Meshubach by retelling the miracles, by giving Lahoidos to Lahalel, by mentioning the fact that the night is called Pesach. We remember the miracles. We remember the praise. We remember the love. And that's the reason why we mention, we recite Shir HaShirim on Pesach. Shir HaShirim is the perfect expression of the love between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Because that's what Pesach is all about. And if a person says all that, he talks about it. You know what that means? HaRezeh Meshubach. We become better. We become closer. We become holier. We become more spiritual. One last point. But how do we take that wonderful inspiration of the night of Pesach and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaRezeh Meshubach? How do we take that and integrate it and internalize it the whole year round? You know what happens? The Yontif is gone. We're back to eating chametz. How do we maintain that inspiration? So I've got a beautiful, surprising Rambam that provides the answer. You're going to love this answer. Listen what the Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Halacha, Chof Vav. Listen to the Rambam. Klolai shel davar. The general rule is, li'olam, a person should always yitzak adam ala asad labai. He should cry out to God. He should daven over the future. V'yabakesh rachamim, he should ask for mercy. And then the Rambam said, v'yitain hoidoy al masha ova, and he should give praise on past things that happened that were good. V'yoyde, and he should give praise, v'yishabeach, k'fi koichai, according to what he's able to do. And here's the punchline, v'chol hamarbe lo'oidoy, says Hashem, and whoever praises Hashem a lot, ulishvachai, and thanks and praises him, tamid. Harezeh meshubach. The exact same words. When I saw this, I flipped out. I came across this Rambam, where Rambam that I knew, and when I put the two together, I said, oh my gosh, I don't believe it. This is the way we maintain the inspiration of the Sefer of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach night. Says the Rambam, you want to maintain that inspiration, you want to be Meshubach during the year, and to praise him and to give Hoidor thanks and to recognize that we need Hashem Tomid, Harezeh Meshubach. Isn't that remarkable? The exact same language that the Rambam says about Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim. You want to maintain that inspiration? Give praise to Hashem. Something good happens, thank Hashem. Say it out loud. You got a raise at work. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A child did something, you have nachas. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say it, don't think it. And don't just say the perfunctory Baruch Hashem. Say it with emotion, say it with feeling. Do it in a demonstrative, in demonstrative way. Because not only b'chol amabel asapa b'tziyat l'shayim on Pesach nara reidem u'shubach, Davin, for the future, v'yibakesh racham, and v'yiten hoidoa mashava on the past. V'yoyde v'yishabchoy, v'yikoychoy, whatever you can do, v'chol amabel oydes v'ashev v'yishabchoy, tovid. Continuous, constant, make it a habit. Harei zeh meshubach. Isn't that remarkable? I'll leave you with a true story. The story involves Rabbi Nachman Seltzer. Besides being a prolific author, at the time this incident takes place, he ran a kollel. Unfortunately, the group of people upon whom he relied on to make the $8,000 payroll for that particular month was unable to do so. Rabbi Seltzer racked his brains for a solution, but none was forthcoming. Is that payroll to make the next day and no solution in sight, Rabbi Seltzer went to shul to Daven Ma'ariv, and he placed his issue before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said the following, you know how hard I work to pay the younger life, he said. I have nowhere to turn and nobody to speak with. I have to pay them by tomorrow. How am I going to do that? He implored HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Ribbono shel Olam, I have no strength to do anything more. I am asking you to do the rest. And when he opened his door the next morning to go to Shacharis, he bumped into a friend whom he had not seen in some time. And after exchanging greetings, he related the dilemma of the $8,000 shortfall. His friend reached into his pocket and gave him an $8,000 check. Kololoi Shaldova, I repeat. The Ayelam Yitzhak Odom Ala Osid Lava V'Yavakesh Rachamim. Abish, I have nowhere to turn to, no one to speak with. V'Yitain Hoidah Masha'ova, you've always come through for me. The Pasuk says, who makes the great lights, his steadfast love is eternal. Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that this Pasuk serves as a powerful reminder that every moment of existence is sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. It offers the profound insight that all of creation and every moment is purposeful and filled with spiritual significance, and that the continued existence of the world isn't automatic. It's an indication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ongoing act of creation rooted in his eternal love. Each moment of life isn't just a progression of time. It's a unique opportunity imbued with distinct spiritual purpose. But I'd like to take it one more step. David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, if there's anyone I'm going to mention the Pasuk of Tehillim to, it's you folks. This is Tehillim Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes. Salvation is for God. Alamcha is on your people, to bless you forever. Rashi sees a powerful connection between the beginning and the end of the statement. Said Ramatu shows Solomon, it is Hashem's obligation to save his servants and his people. Writes Rashi, and it is the obligation of his people to bless and praise him. In other words, there is a pact, a covenant of reciprocal obligations, Ramat Show said. And why does Hashem want to save his people? Because when he does, he knows they will praise him for it. But I ask you, come on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he needs our praise. So what's the answer? You know what the answer is? Givaldik! The answer is what we've been talking about this evening. Kloloi shol dover li'olam yitzagodam aloshid lovdo v'yibakish rachamim v'yitain hoidor pray l'amashove v'yoyde v'yishabech v'yikoichoi. And if you do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be meshuvach. He wants us to be better, to be elevated spiritually. He wants us to be holy. He wants to be closer to us. He wants us to know, Kimi Gogodol Ashaloy Elohim, Karevim Elov, Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Karenu Elov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be meshuvach. He wants us to be better because he wants to give us the geula. And he knows we need to reach a certain level. The relevance of this perspective is transformative. It inspires us to see each moment as a chance for growth, to bring blessings in our lives, and encourages us to live mindfully, acknowledging the inherent purpose and potential in each moment of our existence. We are reminded of our role in this divine orchestration of life to continuously seek and fulfill the spiritual purpose of each moment with resilience and optimism, understanding that we are never abandoned. Yeah, tariffs, no tariffs, but rather we are continuously guided with love. Remember, we call the Yontif Pesach because Hashem skipped over the home because of his love, even though we weren't worthy. The lesson of Zechirat Yetziyat Mitzrayim the whole year round is the mitzvah of Emunah v'Hashgacha Pratis. But the lesson of Sipa Yetziyat Mitzrayim in 10 days' time is L'Hoidos U'L'Halel. And if we do that, with feeling, with gusto, we are not only Harezim Meshubach, but Layashem HaYeshua Alam Chobechoseh Chosela. And in that chus, we will merit the Geula speedily in the coming days. Thank you for listening.